66 days. The number of man, almost. I don't know how to pronounce it, so we'll make up the pronunciation. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Pastor G was there, so I figured I can go there too. Nanny goats, nanny goats. Wow, that's a new one. It's tiny. Wow, what'd you have to do, kill somebody, cat, or what? You know, three cats. Three dead cats. Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. No, actually, I'm not. But if there were dogs, I would feel bad. No, that's awful. Easier to juggle that way. Colossians chapter 3. So reel it in. Colossians chapter 3. Pastor G started this and he... I'll read you the first few verses, and I'm going to read down to, so where Cal's ready, let's see. I'm going to read down to 7. All right, here we go. All right. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. I'm going to read one more. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and then so on. So Lord, bless this word to us today. Help us again to apply it and put it to work. We might have to stop and think about it as well. Really consider the words that are being said and help us to cross-reference and really look at the words. For it's in Christ's name we pray, amen. So Pastor G has been talking about the first few verses, I think, and particularly that you're dead. And your life is hid in Christ in God, or is hid with Christ in God. That's pretty powerful, by the way, in Christ with God. That's like a double whammy. He talks about that in John, where we're held in his hand, or in God's hand, you know? So it's a good thing. But what I wanted to talk about is the mortify part. But in order to get there, I need to get to the first part and just look at the words. There's a couple key words in the first few verses. The first one is seek. Verse 1, seek. The second word that I like in this is verse 2, set. So I've got seek and set, almost like Zeke and Zach, except they're not. Seek and set. If we had twins, it was Zeke and Zach, I was hoping. Zeke and Zach. It's cool. Sue hated it, but I liked it. Single boy, Justin, and I lost, and we have Zach. Number 5, verse 5, mortify. So I've got seek, set, mortify. Seek and set, mortify. What do they all have in common? What are they? Seek, set, mortify. In the sense of the sentence that they're used in. They're all verbs, right? They're all action, right? They're all things that we're told to do. So you have to put your mind to this, and you have to do these things. This doesn't come automatic. It may not be easy, but I didn't see any of those qualifiers in there. Seek. Boy, that's active, isn't it? That's like when we hide the children's presents in the woods behind our house. They have to find them. Listen, you want presents? Go seek them. They're in the woods. You're all like, you're a creep. No, I didn't never do it. I never did. We hit them in the house. But, you know, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. You know, wrap presents. And now, go find them. I can't wait till I have grandchildren. No, that's what the grandkids are going to do. We're going to hide gifts in the house because I'm not giving them anything. You've got to find them. Won't that be fun? I feel sorry for them because they're all going to be taught wrong. Not bad things, just, you know, birthday presents. They're hidden in the house. So, you know, so you have to seek. Set. Now, this word set, I didn't look it up in the Greek necessarily, but the word set is really set your affections. Isn't that what it is? It's firmly establish your affections. It's firmly set them. Grow roots in these things. It's a good picture. You got a tree with roots, very hard to pull out. At the end of the season, after you've had your garden for the whole year and you haven't weeded it, and it's just a whole bunch of weeds and some plants in there, and you got to go through. You think you're going to have a garden next year, so you got to be nice to the garden now suddenly. You got to pull out all them weeds and things. They're hard, the tomato plants especially, because their roots are down in there if you watered them. If you didn't water them, by the way, they're real easy. They just pluck right out. No problem at all. So that suggests something else, doesn't it? Set. You're going to have to work at it, and you're going to have to make it so it's possible to be set. And that's the next word, mortify. That's the next word, mortify. So we've got seek and set, mortify. The whole idea is for you to have something to remember this by. Seek and Zach, seek and set. See how that works? Seek and set, seek and Zach. Now you got it. It won't escape as easy, right? So this mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then it talks about these sins, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. They're the bad ones. If you were to make a list, because we do, right? I know most of you don't make grocery lists anymore because we're impulse buyers, apparently. We just go out and buy stuff willy-nilly. I just need stuff, and I'll just go in a store and just buy it. La, 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 la. Does your mother do that? Or does she make a list? I'm trying to think of your name. Liam. I was thinking Ethan, wrong name, Liam. Does she make a list? We make the list, leave it on the counter, go to the store. What was on the list? I don't know. That's why we made the list. Then you buy stuff, and next thing you know, especially if you have Zeke and Zach, in the grocery store, you got a cart full. And it's all good, but it's not the stuff that you needed. So where was I going with this? No clue. Mortify. It's, where was I going? I forgot where I was going. Willy-nilly. No, I wasn't going willy-nilly. You are no help. We make lists. So these are the bad ones. When we think of bad things, what's really bad that we might do? These are the things. And frankly, they are pretty bad. Now let's talk about the word mortify before we go to those. There's a word, and it's Greek. Did you find it? There it is. N-E-K-R-O-O. I can't get this thing to go. Let me. It wants to say it, but it won't say it. I don't know. Necro. I'm going to say necro. Necro. Let's go with that. Necro. I like necro. And the reason I like necro is if you watch read the book Chronicles of... No. Wrong one. No. Ridden. Roden. Riddick. Riddick. Chronicles of Riddick. Nanny goats. It's a crazy series. And there's the necro fights or something like that that take over the world and all that stuff. And they're bad. They're evil. But that has nothing to do with this. but it helps you remember what it is. Nekaru. It's to make dead. So the Italians, you want me to make them dead? Necro. That's, I don't know how you tie it to the Italians other than that. You know, I want to make you dead, you know. So that's what this means. It's to make dead. It's to put to death. It's to slay. Another one, in this particular case, it's really to deprive of power, to destroy the strength of. And it makes sense because you can't make dead strong desires. It doesn't happen. But you can make them like they're dead by taking away the power. You know how you do that? How do you make something like that take away the power? But first, let's talk about this. That list of baddies. Here's the thing. If you go down a couple of verses, we have to come to a realization here. And it's not one that you're going to like. He lists these bad boys, fornication, uncleanness, all that, right? And he tells you for which things the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. We'll come back to that. But more importantly, read this, number 7, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. In which you, and that's who he's writing to, which is us, walked in them, referring back to those bad boy sins, when you lived in them. Now, what does that mean? What's up with that? The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Only God. Jeremiah 17:9-10. Only God can know it. And the thing is, he knows it so well, he tells us all about it. And he says, listen, you walked in these things because you lived in them. These things that are listed are things that attack the mind regularly on this planet because this planet is plagued in sin. It doesn't mean that you acted on it. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that you fulfilled all those evil desires. You know, we have a dog that I despise. It bites. It bites me. You know, I have this collar. Desiree got it. And we put the collar on. It's got a pinch on it. So the idea is when Joe DiMaggio comes over to our house, we have her on the leash, we just yarn on it a little bit. She yelps a little bit. It doesn't hurt her a lot. And then she doesn't bite Joe. And in fact, when we did this originally, she sat down. And she would sit there on the leash. So I'm liking this thing because that's what we want, the dog to just not bite. So I had someone come over to the house this weekend. And I put the collar on. This is going to have a point, Jason, so just relax. Okay. So I put the collar on, and I walked out, and I told the guy, I said, don't come any closer. She hates you already, but she's in training, and I just want you to talk from there. And I was about from here to Annika away talking to him, and she was kind of alert, not sitting, but I hadn't yarned it. Then he moved his hand. Because he's Italian, you know, you'll make him dead. So he moved his hand for whatever purpose. She decided he needs to die. So I yarned on it to get her to sit. So what does she do? Does she sit down? No. She bites me. We didn't have the collar then. That's when we learned that we needed the collar. Wow, she bites. Really, yeah. Yeah, she bites guys. So she bit me. Oh, I don't need a permit. I'd shovel to this dog. I don't like the dog. She bites, but she's gorgeous. And she prances, and she's so pretty, but she bites. She's kind of like Desiree. So. She is. She's Desiree. So, we're going to change the name to Desi. I've already done that in my mind. Desi. So I got to start using that more regularly because she won't come right now. She comes with Gemma. Dumb name. Desi, come here. So where was I going? So she bit me. What was I going with this for? Mortify. All right.
Check the bag regularly.
I've tried that. It doesn't work. What's that? Necro. Strong desire. I don't remember why I was going down this path with the dog, except to say the dog is a naughty dog. I've got to play the tape back so I can remember what the track was so I can do it next time. So the dog is a naughty dog. That dog has evil thoughts constantly. And she doesn't know how to put this stuff off. She doesn't know how to mortify it. She doesn't know how to put it aside. She's got to overcome it and take the power away. And the power is in the leash in this case, except it doesn't work. And I'll explain this in a minute. But it should. So let's say that it worked. You see, that collar would squeeze it and would take the power away, and she would sit down. You have to think the same thing. These things that we talked about, these bad boy sins, these are some really bad places to be. But I got to tell you, we all live in them. They're around us. We're assaulted by them regularly. And the question is, how do you stave off these attacks? How do you do it so that you're not convinced that this is the path I should take? I know where it was. The dog. I hate the dog. So when she bit me, my instant reaction for just about a little more than a split second, because I had the shovel in my hand. The dog must die. And it would just be one shot with a shovel to the head. I'm just telling you, that's how you could, I could, I know, but I didn't do it. I didn't. I was nice. I told you it was a split second. Maria, it was a split second.
Doesn't the Bible say if you thought it, you did
it? I lived there. You see it? And the thing is, I didn't kill the dog. And I won't kill the dog. Ethan's over there crying. I won't kill the dog. I just said I wanted to kill the dog, and it was in my brain for a second there, but I didn't kill the dog. So that's a good thing. And it wasn't like I had to think about it too long. I didn't dwell on it. But, you understand, I didn't take that evil desire, and I didn't act on it. I wanted to, but I stopped. I've taken the power away. I've taken that power away where anger is a real problem for me. I don't always win. I don't get to the point where I'm hurting things. I don't get to the point where I destroy things, throw the iron or the ironing board. But this is a good thing because this is the problem that I have. I would be a really good Marine in a battle because I would like to kill people if properly trained, right? But it's the idea that you live in it and it's always here, resident. And you've got to take away the power. And we've got to teach people how to do that because I'll tell you, we're losing the battle. And this list of bad things there that are in the Word of God that says we live in these things. Wow. We got kids that are growing up. And you can instruct them in righteousness, right? But they ultimately have to make decisions. And they're being accosted by evil constantly. We got to ask them. We got to ask ourselves, are we giving them the tools? One of our purposes in the church is to provide the tools. You say, what tools do you provide? And I'll use the evil desires. I have a desire. I want to carry it out. I know it's not right, but everybody else around me is saying it's right. So how do I put an end to that? How do I stop that? You know, in the world, man, that's hard. That's hard. First off, you got to get saved. We're unapologetic about that. You got to be saved. You've got to believe. You've got to place your faith in the finished work of Christ. And then he will change you. He will. But he's not going to do it like magic. That's not how that works. There's no pixie dust. I go over to little Julie over here, or Julia, whatever one it is. Which is it, IA or IE? Ah or E? Ah? Julia. Maria. Are you an ah too? I know Annika. That one's easy. So you're ah. All right, so Annika. All right. Sometimes I don't know what to call them. Maria. I came straight from work. No, I didn't go to the bar first. I did have a little taste. Okay. Well, it was there, and I knew I was coming here. So I had just a little taste of Mountain Dew. Back on track. I'm working on it. Oh, giving it to go. I got that.
Pixie dust.
Right, so how do we do that, right? I don't know. We got him saved. All right, we got him saved. Now we're going forward. After you get saved, the thing is, there's nothing special that happens in the man. Everything's done and settled in heaven. You're justified. You're in Christ. You know, Pastor G's gone through that list. Roger, one of these guys, had one of those sheets he's given us. Who was that? Gave us all those things that are, you know what I'm talking about. You got them in your Bibles, right? So you got all the things that are accomplished in Christ. But here's the thing. You're still on earth. You're still on earth. And we just read a few verses back. It isn't until Christ comes back that we're going to be like him. It's going to be a while. It's going to be a bit. So what are we going to do? That's why I mentioned these verbs. There it is. So you've got to work on this. And Christ is like, okay, here's everything you need. Gives us the Word of God. And the Word of God is powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword that you see, Excalibur. Right? It's the only way you remember stuff. Lightsaber. How's that? More powerful than a lightsaber. Focus. So it's more powerful than it. The Word of God says that, Hebrews 4:12. So it is. So we get this, and what does it tell us to do? And it's pretty easy. But we fight it, don't we? Number one thing you can do. Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves. It's just the way it is, baby. Where is it? Liam's looking at me, drool's coming down. I know. Stay awake. It's all right. And he did drool. I wish I had a radio. What is it? Film. Video. I could take a picture of it. He's laughing so hard. He's like spewing drool. So, where is that? Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not assembly. Why does that matter? Because Hebrews or 1 Corinthians 12, Hebrews 12 tells us about the gifts of the body, and it tells us that we need each other. Was that for me? Oh, okay, I just wanted to make sure. I was expecting a call. I had my phone on. You're such a jerk. Yes. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Tells us that the body needs all the parts. And the parts can't say to the rest of the body, hey, listen, I don't need you. I'll do my own thing. It's just dumb. You can't have a foot be a foot without the rest of the body. It's not a foot. It's an appendage. If it's cut off, it's just there. You ever see a leg cut off? It's just there. It ain't much fun. Right? You got the picture in your head, right? Grosses you out. So the point is, we need to be together. We need the body. So it's no wonder if you're not here, if you're not participating, it's no wonder. You say, but we've been participating, and the kids are just still out of control. They're still, Katie, out of control. What do you do? Number two, doesn't it tell us to teach our children? How about Titus 2? Is it Titus 2 or is it Titus 3? Let's look, because I want to make sure I give you the right verse. Flip back a few pages. Go to Titus, because I want to forward to the back, toward the back. Thessalonians, Timothy. Hey, it's alphabetical. Titus. You didn't? So easy. 2. Titus 2 provides us with an outline of what we, the body, should be doing for the ones that are younger. And you thought I was talking about parents. No. I'm talking about the church. That's our duty. The old guys, hang out with the young guys, teach them something. The mature women, hang out with the younger ladies and teach them. You say, well, that's pretty chauvinist. Whatever. Just read the word. And it tells us that we're to support each other. But teach. Teach. We got an admonishment in Hebrews that tells us, well, you ought to be teachers. And I got to go back and I got to teach you the fundamentals of faith because you're still not teaching it. That's what he's saying. You get taught this stuff and then you're not teaching anybody. How long do you think you're going to retain that? Zero, right? That's how you retain. Use it. You say, well, I've used it for myself. Isn't that enough? No, Kathy. You have to use it. You have to teach it. Christianity, the principles, you have to teach it. It just doesn't stick. You say, yes, it does. No, it doesn't. Is it? No, it doesn't. It doesn't stick. You have to teach it. You have to be a part of it. We're a living organism, the church, and we have to breathe and operate. So everybody ought to be teaching at some point. You say, well, I'm not a teacher. I can't do what you're doing. Listen, I can't do what I'm doing. You see me doing it, right? I'm all over the place. All you got to do is pull out the Bible. You can teach it. You say, well, I don't do big. You don't have to do big groups. That's not what we're talking about. But who are you discipling? Now, Pastor G mentioned this Sunday. He said 3 people. That's a lot. You invite 3, I suppose, but 3 to disciple. Ew. That's a lot. Okay. He's the pastor. We got to find 3. Gemma. I would have picked the goldfish. I think we should kill her.
Wait, I got a dog.
No, we can send the dog over. Good idea. No, Kathy wants the dog. No. No, Aunt Kel, Uncle Mike are going to help us. With the baby Gemma, Desi. So Desi's going to go with them, and they can enjoy it. So it's teaching. It's discipling. Discipling is nothing more come alongside and help. Go back to our guidance. Seek and set, mortify. The issue is, it's all on us anyway, individually. In the end, these are verbs. Seek and set, mortify. It's on us, individually. We have to do this. You say, well, my children. Your children have to do this. Now, initially, children are just little critters. And they have no idea. Believe me, I've had 4. They have no idea what to do. So you're absolutely, as parents, going to have to show them the way. And it starts out with little things, and you're as you know, you build on those little things. And they start doing it themselves. So, initially, when they're in a high chair, it's okay to flip the noodles at their face and have them catch it. You're feeding, you're doing all the work. They're open their mouths anyway. You're hungry? Sing. And then after a while, they're like little birds, because then they expect it. So, and if you do it right, you know, the dad, which I am, they know it's just the dad that does it. They know the mom doesn't do that. So they start to adapt. It's interesting to see little sinners do this. They know that dad does it this way, mom does it this way. And they pick which one they want. Usually it's the mom. That's a little key for the guys. But after a while, after flipping it in their face, right, it starts hitting them and they like it and they're catching it. They're usually pretty, after a while, they're pretty adept at moving and catching it, right? But after, I gotcha. So after a while, they want to do it themselves. Not flip it, but eat it. Now, I got to ask you something. It's spaghetti, right? When you want them to eat the spaghetti on their own, what are some rules of thumb for the new people, people with kids or will have kids? What's the...
Chop it
really fine. Chop it fine, right? You don't want them to choke, number one. Good. Okay, two. Well, yeah, you already cooked it. We're assuming that be... Wow. All right, that's all right, though. That's okay. You've prepared the food. Now you want to put it in front of spaghetti. Don't give them red sauce. Right? Put plat... Or get a dog.
There you go.
We have a dog, so you don't have to get one. We'll give it to you, and you don't have to worry about it. So don't put sauce on it, because it's all over the place. But that's, now what? Anything else? That's it. Let them use it. Hey, what they got, give it to them. Just give them the plate. Just give them the, I don't know if you've been around, and you might be some of these people, and for which I don't apologize. But you ever see these people where they don't just give the kid the food and let them make a mess, let them eat? Just, and they don't have very good dexterity, and they just jam it, and they miss. But after a while, they get it. But you got to let them miss. That's the point, Katie. See, I had a point all along, Katie. You were sitting there. Where's he going with this, Kathy? I was there. I'm laser focus. Everybody say laser focused. Come on. How was Menzel last night? Laser focused. Let me hear it. Ready? Okay, let's try it all together. How was I tonight in preaching?
Laser focused.
There you go. That's what you say to Pastor G. Okay, got it. Laser focused. So we're not recording this. Laser focused. So when you're feeding the kid, you want him to miss. You want, because are they going to get hurt? No, because you chopped it up fine, and the sauce isn't all over their face and hands. That's later. So they're going to make mistakes with it. But that's okay, because they're in a protected environment. They're in the high chair, preferably. They're not mobile. We didn't say, really, one of the threes is put them in the chair and lock them in. That's what high chairs are for. Lock them in. You don't want them wandering. Don't give them a bowl, dads, because I know you have. And let them walk around with it, because now there's the dog's being fed, no one else. So they're in a chair. They're just jamming food on their shoulders and their hair. They're dipping their head in the bowl, because I've seen that too. Which one was that? Which one dipped their heads? Probably Jacqueline. She was an experimental child. So I probably showed her how to do that. Yeah, just go ahead and eat it. Just please, any way that you can get it in your face. Go ahead. So, but over time, even with a chaotic father like me, they're going to figure out that the utensils are there for a reason. And in time, they'll learn how to use those utensils. And if you do it right, they'll wash the utensils, which every child should learn. Wash the dishes. don't get a dishwasher. If you get a dishwasher, ban it from use. Make them wash the dishes and then dry the dishes and then put the dishes away. It doesn't work, but it's worth the exercise. Maybe when they're 30, they'll remember. But I'm telling you this because after a while, they start to learn to do it right. Now, the thing is, you can't stop them from doing the wrong thing and making the wrong choices. So after a while, with spaghetti, it should be illegal to cut it up because it's nasty that way. I like the long spaghetti. You can't stop them from cutting it up. You're not always going to get it your way when you're after you taught it. As long as they're on the road, they're okay. It's when they get off the road you want to get them back on the road. But their responsibility is to seek, set, and mortify. And it's you can't stop them from making the wrong decisions, but you can set up parameters. And you can expect them to fulfill the parameters. But the issue is that this world is in the Romans 1 mode. So flip over to Romans 1 quickly. And in 19, we start out with this whole idea that the whole world has a testimony that there is a God. There is a God and He's holy. There is a God in control. Everybody knows it. It doesn't matter. I don't care what an atheist says. They're lying. They're not atheists. They reject God. Now, they can claim, oh, no, there's no God. That guy in the wheelchair, someday, Stephen Hawking, he's going to pass away. I hope it's not before he gets saved. But I got to tell you, the witness is in his life, and I think his heart is hardened to the point where he is not going to believe, and it's his choice, because he's had the greatest theologians talk to him, debate with him, and he has fought them the whole way. And that way of thinking is winning because of Romans 1 is in play. And you could see that God gives them witness. But after a while, God's going to say, I'm going to let you make your choices. And the whole system comes into play. And Pastor G's been talking about this. Who's in charge of the earth? God's got it in control, of course, but who's allowed to run the earth? Satan. The power of darkness. God's allowing him to have sway to the extent that we allow it as individuals. We have free will. We have a choice. We don't make the right choice. If we make the wrong choice too many times, if we're allowed to make the wrong choice too many times, if we've been hardened so that we're not part of the church, we're not part of the fellowship, we're not teaching, we're not learning, we're not disciples, after a while, all of that is going to be washed away. And then they're going to do these things that we see, working those things which are unseemly. God turns them over to a reprobate mind. And you say, well, that ain't right. God's a loving God. Boy, He is a loving God. You can read that in the Psalms all day long. You can read that till the cows come home. And He is. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16, one of our favorite verses. Absolutely. But God is righteous and just, and He's only going to put up with this nonsense for so long. Just as He did with Israel, our example, 1 Corinthians 10, they're our example. We see what happened. God's going to make a decision, and we see it. Those that refuse to seek, set, mortify, are going to stay in these sins, and God's going to judge it. The whole world. Now, if you're a believer and you're in that stuff, you still get a little part of that action. the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know what happens there. I can read what happens. It's got to be a little bit more serious than I think some of us think it is. I don't know what the results are necessarily, but it can't be good. It can't be good. But God's so good to us, He's going to wipe away all tears. Man, I mean, you can be a total loser, and God's going to wipe all that away? Yeah, we're all total losers anyway. He's wiped all that sin away. It's up to us to choose. So I hope if nothing else, you take this today. Seek, set, mortify. These are actions that you need to do as individuals. In order for that, for us to mortify, though, to make dead, we need help. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells us. We have all the help that we need from that standpoint. However, the body of Christ is given for this purpose, to help in that area. So you got to ask yourself, who's my disciple? Who am I helping to mortify? You know, I talked to this one fellow, and it's a little thing, cigarettes, little thing, just smoking. Now, I'm not going to tell you, lecture you on, you see the commercials, they're grody enough, right, what cigarettes do. And I got it. I don't know what's going to happen with me because I lived in a cloud of smoke my whole childhood. You know, that's my parents smoked like chimneys. I emptied the ashtrays. You know, that's what he did. But here's the thing. We know what it does. We got that. This guy knows what it does. He knows. You're not going to win any battles there. So I asked him. I said, what's up with this? You can't kick this thing? What's up? I know you're saved. So what's the problem? He says, well, I like to get up and smoke a cigarette. I like to eat dinner and go out on the porch and have a cigarette afterwards. He likes it. He enjoys it. It's something that's a habit, and he's finding it hard to replace. That's what it is. He's got nowhere to put it. Now, you might say that's foolishness. But we are creatures of habit, thank God. I don't have to think about how to get up out of that bed in the morning. Some of you don't have to think about how to hit that snooze alarm. It's a habit. Who? But it's one of these things. Habits are good. You get in the car. Do you know where the blinker is? Yeah, you know where the blinker is. But do you know where it is? Do you have to stop and think down? Now, when you're a new driver, you guys will be soon. Raquel still is. Right? And you hit that blinker. You gotta think about it. I'm driving. Corner. You're taking a corner. Blinker. 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 Oh, okay. You're already in the corner. But the rest of us, for the most part, Harry doesn't use blinkers. We know where the blinker is. You just hit it. You just know when to hit it. You do the blinker. It goes off by itself. It's great. But there's other habits that aren't so good. And this kid that smokes, he can't find a replacement for it. It's not that nicotine's addicting. Got it. Yeah, you better believe it is. That's why they pipe that stuff in. Yeah, on purpose, which they've finally admitted to. So you can get the patch, but you got to replace it. You have to replace it. And he hasn't found that thing to replace it. The love of Christ hasn't really been strong enough to overcome this. So we talk about the love of, you know, the love of Christ constrains us. You can tell him all that you want. But Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, as you read down through, you have to put off, renew your thinking, and put on. He's got to replace that habit. That's what it is. So when we're teaching, when we're discipling, are you helping them through that? Because it's not going to be easy, especially if it's something like that. It is a life-dominating habit. You have to come alongside and you got to help them overcome it. And you could beat them with the head with these verses. That's not enough. You got to help them overcome it. That's what it is with all those lists. We lived in it. And then it tells us we lived in those things. Compare and contrast, you have to go back to the Greek. Why are there two separate lists? One is we live in it. The next group, now put off these things. There's something for you. So what's the difference? Why is the idolatry pieces separate from the next group, anger, malice, and all that? You didn't think about it because I just told you. So there's a difference between those two lists. But we got to help them overcome what we're living in. And these kids and us, we're living in this world that says it's right. And that's the fundamental issue. It doesn't matter what mom and dad says. Once they get a certain age, and it's not because it's a certain age. It's what we are. We are sinners. And at some point, you will be tested as parents. You'll be tested as disciples. You'll be tested. And there is, 1 Corinthians 1, there is someone that's gone through it, that's here in the church, that should be a part of it, and it's our job to be a part of that process. And it ain't necessarily mom and dad. It might be John Stout. Very well could be. How are you going to know unless you're here? How are you going to know? You can't. We don't advertise it. Some of these things are highly personal. And we don't advertise it. But if you're part of the church, you'll know. You'll see it. Because we're living through it. While it's private, at some point, it's out there. And it's part of our church. And we're told that they're here. Everything that we need is here. Man, if I had everything I needed, why would I not be here? Why wouldn't I seek this body out? Right here. You say, what does Kathy Kirkie got? You have no idea unless you've been here. So how do I find out? Well, fortunately, that's what we have a pastor for. That's why we have deacons. And that's their role, to help guide you. It may not be me that sits down across the table from you. It might be somebody else. But we'll find it. And with technology today, all kinds of availability. And it's cool. Because that's the body of Christ too, right? And we can call in all these pieces, parts. It's awesome. It's awesome. So that's what I'd like you to think about. Seek and set, mortify. And remember, laser focused. Okay? You got it? Don't throw me in the bag. Laser focused. All right, let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for this time that we had together. We just thank you. Colossians 3, what a great chapter to be in. I have notes that show me, in the last couple of years I've been here, 4 times Pastor G has been on these first few verses. I wrote the date next to it. So he's going back to it, and I'm not tired of it, finding value in it, learning new things from it. But it must be because we need it. Because you have a way of getting that through to our pastors, and they bring it to us. And just as the Philippians church was written to in a certain way, different from all the other ones, we need preaching that's for this church. And I believe that you have set this, you have set us on this course where we need to talk about these things. Seek and set and mortify. And it ties in with everything that Pastor G's doing. So I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us just get that light switch turned on and start just working through this a little bit, a little chewing, a little thinking, and see where we can improve our serve, our discipleship. How can we be used? Who needs help? How can we help? We don't know until we start to do it actively. But then there's those that need help. They need to be a part of that, and they need to seek. That's where it's at. So help us, Lord. Help us. We need you. We have you. Help us to rely on you. We know we can get it done because you said cast all your cares. We're casting a lot of cares, and we know that you'll provide. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.